कंसचारुरमरणं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं. सो इन द मॉर्निंग सेशन वी हैव रेड दैट देयरफॉर तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु माम् अनुस्मर युद्ध च. So great ideal given to all of humanity who are striving in the path of spirituality. That is to sarveshu kalesu, at all time, under all circumstances, it is also understood, day and night, morning and evening, while you are walking, while you are moving, while you are doing any work, or you are sitting, internally we should have the namasmarana. You need some pillow? Okay? Enough pillow is there. Here is also one. If you like, take it. Yeah. So that is most important thing, is that to think of God. It is in the Christian mysticism, it is called the Brother Lawrence. It's called the practice of the presence of God. You see, the language is different. He's saying, Mamunusmara, think of me. And he actually used to think day and night, and in every point of time, presence of the Lord. No? And what a great achievement in life that he attained. He felt the constant companionship of the Lord by feeling that he is with me. Yes, I am doing for him. So always the present. This is another way. Tasma mam unusmara. You think of me, means your mind should feel me. I am there with you. Unusmara means not just remembering someone. When you remember, what happens? The man may be in India. Oh, you don't get it, eh? The microphone is not going there. Oh, you can't hear. So bring the two chairs in this corner. Those two chairs, put it here. No, you all sit, don't disturb everything. Just in this corner, they will be closer. Yeah. Make a space for them to be. Are they? And remove that harmonium. Yeah. Or it is not necessary. Yeah. Put here too. That's all. Another chair. That's all. For the timing, only two chairs for both of them. You can be here. Are we are giving chair for you only. You to come here. You come here. Come here. And you also come here. No. Come here. Yeah, sit here. And then put two very close to me. No, we are nobody is bad, nobody is good. Another chair? Oh, so that chair is there. Why you are not giving that chair? And there is another chair, why it is not giving? Okay, it is here. Thank you very much. Yeah, come. Yeah. I think it will be little closer then. So that question was that mam anusmara, think of me, remember me, means a friend who is in India, suppose, and now you remember, what happens? He is no more at distance. Mentally, you are closer, you are connected. So, normally we keep God in the heaven, God in the temple. But when I am in my life, I am not connected with you. That's why people feel loneliness. That's why people feel that who will take care of me, huh? I am alone. This is a frustration for most of the people like us. Even we are following spiritual disciplines, but for us it is a problem because I am alone. Only by thinking, if we can, you think of your son who may be in Florida, but when you think as if he is close to you, if that is possible, when you think of God, the all-pervading God, and you are initiated, so you know your Ishta Devata is there, that you call Rama, Krishna, Kali, Durga, Shiva, whatever is your Ishta Devata, when you think, it's no more far away, it is here. So that is a sadhana. Every moment, when we remember, means you bring close to your heart. So when we think of God, that is the moment we bring God to the closeness, feel the proximity. So spiritual life is most important in Mahamunusmara. And another thing, try. That's the same in English, practice of the presence of God. It is a practice. You know? Didn't say, okay, think of God. Think of God means you cannot think. Unless you practice it. So when how many times we practice and how many times we forget. So the practice is most important. Abhyasa vairagyabhyam tan nirodha. In the Raja Yoga, it is said, how the nirodha state, the state of perfect peacefulness of the heart will come, when the truth will be revealed. When it will come? It will come abhyasa and vairagyabhyam. Two processes. One is abhyas, repeatedly think of God, abhyasa, punah punah, again and again. Did it in the morning, forgot sometime, again do it, again do it, again do it, abhyasa. And vairagya why? Vairagya means detachment. Our mind gets distracted to thousands of things in the world. Vairagya means detached from other things where the mind is running and attached with God. If the detachment is not there, this Anusmarana will not come. Why we don't think of God? Even you forget your food, why you forget your food? When you are hard pressed with the other problems of life, other situations, circumstances, compelling things in life. So the question is that it is compelling situations make us forget about our basic things of life which we survive with. So abhyasa and this detachment is necessary. Unless it is we detach from other things, this will not come. That means we should not be heartless. Detachment does not mean that you are ignoring everything. Detachment means everything you love, but love in the proper perspective. Seeing God in them. Because of the presence of God you do everything. That is the bringing God into practice. How will you bring God into your practice every day? While you are cooking, cleaning, you can bring God into our proximity. That it is Lord's house I am doing. Oh Lord, you are here. You walk here. What is religion? It is instant presence. We all do our home cleaning. But we think that I will be walking. I am doing for myself. No. Ramakrishna walks here. This house is Ramakrishna's. Your bed. Your bed should be made perfect. Because he sometimes will sit over there. It is his house. I am the caretaker. So, how you feel the presence of him? Your walking will remind you, oh ho ho, Ramakrishna will walk here, so I should keep. That is the presence of God. It should always remind you of how it will be reminded? If we think not of other things, but of this one truth, that God, it is God's house, it is God's doing, I am only an instrument doing. You know? Say Baburam Maharaj, Swami Premananda, and Belur Math, Premananda asked some brahmacharis, like this grass, here is a machine, so you mow it and done. And there are these grasses are one type, but there are grasses, soft grass and hard grass, some weeds. So he asked the brahmacharis to take out the weeds. But take out the weeds means it's a big job, no? You have to dig, pull it out from the root. So they took some scissor or something like that. And Baburam Maharaj came and saw that they had done so much work. They said, how did you do it? And they saw that they are doing like that. Are you? How could you cut like that? His first question is that, do you know that if Ramakrishna will walk here, his feet is too soft. These weeds will penetrate in the feet. You have to take out the root. This grass should be soft. That's why he asked you to cut it. And you are thinking you are doing some job. Most of the thing we finish our jobs. It is not job finishing. So bring that spirituality, that is the Mahamanusmara. How to remember me, that's a big thing. This awareness, this awareness. One day it has happened that Bengal it rains occasionally, in the season, off season also. So sometimes one day, in the temple, not this new temple, in the old temple, old shrine, which Swami Vivekananda established the Ramakrishna's relics there, and he said that from this center then his message will flood the world for another 1500 years. And this has given a time frame of 1500 years. it will flood all over the globe. And Sri Ramakrishna said, wherever you will put me, I shall stay there. Sri Ramakrishna is everywhere, but Ramakrishna said to Swami Vivekananda that where you will carry me and put me, you carry me and put me, I shall be there. And that is the way he established. But anyhow, so one of the brahmachari, or the pujarini, who does the puja, he came and he, afternoon he came, as we do, you open the shrine, what do? You go to the shrine and you give some fruits and candies, afternoon, and water, everything is given. But the water, the rain water has fallen into the baranda. It is outside. So the Swami who was doing the puja, he came and did everything inside. And Baburam Maharaj came suddenly. Said, hey, what are you doing? This is water all around. And he started mopping with a towel and drying that place. Hari, Sri Ramakrishna will walk here and he will fall down. Slippery. See, the concern, presence of God. It is not talk, it is a feeling. You know, Swami Ramakrishnananda in Madras. Ramakrishna, you know Madras heat is how much, who come from Madras, you know how much is the hot climate there. And in the noontime when there will be extreme heat, where was the air condition, where was fan? So he, instead of going to take rest and think, he will be just going into the shrine. And don't rest. He will take a fan, hand fan in those days, and he will be making fan. And he is sweating. He is sweating every week. Heavy body is also sweating. All through. But only fanning and fanning and fanning till the afternoon. Because Ramakrishna is sleeping. It is hot summer. How do you feel? See how Mamunu Smara. If you feel like that, your whole life will be transformed. That is the way the life of these great souls were transformed, and their influence was so much and on others also. So those sadhus who had this experience with Babunam Maharaj, lifelong training, how to feel the presence. This is not your room. You cannot keep it dirty because it is Ramakrishna's room. Or it is Krishna's place. It is Rama's place. Whatever you terminologically you put them, is Shiva, Kali, Durga, Christ. It is your affair. But it is the Lord's place. So this is the feeling of the presence. So Mam Anushmara, and you will say, okay, I am so spiritual, but I don't have to go to office. No? And I go to office, my boss is now fighting with me, my co-worker is giving a hard time. You have to face it, challenge. Take the challenge. Fight it out. That means take proper means. Yuddha-cha. Yuddha means just fight out the evil. Face the brute, Swami Vivekananda said. Face the brute. And connect. It is the Mahamanusmara. The thinking inside the Lord. The Lord's power will be there, and at the same time, in the living in the outside world, you have to just survive in a way, not to do any harm to anyone, but for your own protection, you will have to be like yuddha, you have to fight. Fight means in our everyday life is a fight. We survive with so much of all things, and we face so many challenges, and out of those struggles, we try to get out of it and survive. So this is a great verse we read in the morning time. Mam Anusmara Yuddha Cha. I think, very good. What? Oh my God. What is 20 minutes done? Okay. And now, 8th verse. How it will be done? Again, I just referred the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. You see, they are saying that. Exactly what Patanjali said. Here, Sri Krishna said the same thing. See? Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nannagamina paramam purusham devyam yati parthanu chintayam. O Partha, Arjuna, anuchintayam. Chintayam means thinking. Anuchinta means following one chinta, another chinta. That is called anu. Continuous thought. Anuchintanam means you think one time of God and then you think again second time. That is called anu, following. Mam anu smara, again. Anu means follow. Smara means remember. Anu means following me, you remember me. You follow and remember. So it is said, of how Partho, O Partho, my anuchintayan, thinking, that means Sravana Manana Nididhyasana in Vedanta, it is said. This is Sravana, we are hearing, this is Sravana, we are reading, this is Sravana. But that will not do. Manana, anuchintayan, again and again, reflect what you have read, what Krishna is giving the direction, we have to think again and again and again, only chintayam. That's why, we need a mindset. Chetasa. Chetasa means the chitta. By that chitta or mind. Which type of mind? Of no unnagamina. No, onno gami. It will not go in other direction. That type of mind is necessary. Chitta, which is one-pointed. How will you get to that point that it will always be no, onno gamina? Mind's nature is to go out. Mind is mind, because it runs into the sense objects. That is your mind. If the mind does not go to different subjects, the ripple of the mind will not be in the heart. Rajajaga, chitta, vritti, that is the chitta vritti will stop. Then nirodha. And chitta vritti nirodha means your sarupa siddhi. Yoga is what? Chitta vritti nirodha. That means vrittis of the chitta, that is the thought. Onnogamina means one thought of office, another thought of New York, another thought of New Jersey, another thought of my friend, another thought who told me something bad, another thought. So it is all vrittis, one after another jumping, going one after another. So, but now, no onnogamina. It will not go in the other direction. How can you do that? That means you have to be very aware. When the mind is just running towards something, stop, come over here. That is called abhyas. Abhyas means practice. And then by that time you say, mind is treacherous. Mind by that time goes to another thing. You try to catch him in one point, he runs into the another point. It is a tricky play goes on. So you say, but you have to be very watchful. Hey, why are you going there? So again, abhyas, repeat. Again, repeat it. That means very watchfulness, great watchfulness is necessary. So the mind, which is abhyas, practicing repeated practice to stop this onnogami mind going into onno direction, other direction, accepting God, accepting Divine. Wherever it goes, there is another process of meditation. That's why Vedanta says one is process of negation and bhakti is another process of position, opposite the concept. That's why Krishna devotees say yatra yatra drishti Krishna, yatra yatra drishti pade tatra tatra Krishna spure. Wherever you see your eyes fall, you see the Krishna. You let the mind go to New York, you see it is Krishna. Let it go to my friend, Krishna is there in that form. Then also it is non-nogamina. Your mind is fighting with me, okay, your mind, okay, try to see God there. This is also abhyas. It will not come because you will forget God and think of the friend only. But this is an idea that you can put God also there. So unnogamina mind means your mind will always, our mind is constituted like that. Otherwise it is no mind. If the mind does not run for the sense objects, it is no more mind. Thakurji said, Shuddha man, Shuddha buddhi, Shuddha atma ak. What is the pure mind is equal to pure buddhi. And what is pure mind, pure buddhi is called to pure Atman, Shuddha Atman. Why? If the mind is pure, it is niruddha, no ripple. That's why it is pure. What is impure? It is always jumping. Swami Vivekananda compared the mind with a monkey. The monkey always jumps. And then if the monkey is given some drink, wine, little wine has been given, so the jumping of the monkey has become bigger. What is the wine here? The vishaya, the senses, the sense objects, these are the vishaya. These are like intoxicating. You see, you try to meditate and kut, one noise comes in the door. Who is coming? And if you even don't open your eyes, you know by following the footsteps, you forget what you are meditating. It goes to the door. It happens for me, I do not know if it happens with you or not. So you see what you are meditating upon, see? The kut sound, and with the footsteps you know who is coming. If you know in a family, we know in our temple, every person has his way of opening the door, putting the shoes, making the noise, someone is loud, someone is slow. And if those who are regular members, even you are looking like that, you know what is going on there. So the mind is always like that. That's why it is distracted mind. That is the mind. But suppose you are in meditation and you are thinking of God. And who came, who went, you didn't know anything. That is no more mind. Mind is focused mind. Mind is concentrated mind. So when it drinks the Vishaya, the senses. The senses are here, sense objects. This seeing is one thing, and getting intoxicated is one thing. We call obsessed. And now that is bitten by scorpion. That is the condition of the mind. That's why your Vyasa has commented on the condition of the mind. Mind state is called kshipta, mudha, vikshipta, niruddha. These are the four stages of mind. Kshipta, mad, jumping. That is normal mind as we are having. This is kshipta. And kshipta means it has been monkey with what is called drunk, obsessed, and bitten by scorpion. Yoga is not possible for that type of mind. Not our mind. Our mind is much better than that. Scorpion means you more intoxication for the world. See, people in this world may be more going with the sense object, but obsessed with one special thing, which always is a degrading thing. So there are special things like that. It's pain. Scorpion bites you and the pain goes into your own point. Then it makes you very concentrated on that pain. So, similarly the sensation which we receive from the outside, that has a specific object. General attachment for the senses, that is one thing. That itself is dangerous. Seeing the object is not bad. Enjoying the food is not bad. But getting attached is a bad thing. And then if you get attached, then to counter that attachment, it takes a long time to wipe out. So now it says kshipto, who is khapa, kshipto mind, it is not suitable for meditation or spiritual practice. Such distracted mind cannot concentrate at all. It is not for the yoga practice. Then mudha. Mudha means dull. No interest. Then God is that. I am not interested in that. That is the mind. That mind is not interested, and as if he is very satisfied with that. And then vikshipta mind is that which occasionally gets concentrated and occasionally disturbed, like ours. Intensity may be more or less. We try to sit. We find little joy sometimes by meditation, prayer, bhajan, singing. Other time we do not. That is a vikshipta mind. And vikshipta mind practicing this obhyasa yoga vittena, practicing again and again for more concentration and focus. A point will come, mind will go more deeper inside, and that will bring to the niruddha mind, the state of nirodha, what the yoga system says. So it will lead to that. So these are the way Vyasa has described there in the commentary of this mind there. So what is to be done? The same entire philosophy is here in this one verse. Abhyaso yoga yuktena. What is there yoga? Yoga is abhyaso yoga. Thakur also said, abhyaso yoga. That is the yoga means union through the process of abhyas practice. And what to type of practice? Chetasa na annagamina. That practice is what? I will not allow my mind to go into other objects. Whenever he does, I'll catch him and bring him back to my meditation. Or as a bhakta, you can see God there. You want to go? Go wherever you want to go. Go. If I see God there. That means this alertness, this is onnogamina. You don't allow the mind to go to other objects. Paramam purusham divyam. That parama purusha, the supreme purusha, that consciousness, which is divya, which is divine, jati, will attain to that state of that consciousness, parama purusham jati. O Partho, by this process of unichinta, of thinking. So with the mind not wandering after anything else, not wandering after anything else, made steadfast in the yoga of constant practice. Mind becomes steadfast by constant practice. He who meditates on the supreme, resplendent Purusha, reaches. Your book, what is the translation, Joseph?
Which part?
Eighth part.
The mind disciplined by the practice of yoga, which does not turn to anything else, to the divine supreme spirit one goes, son of Krishna, meditating on him.
Okay. Now, what to think about? What is God? Again, he's saying about the object of meditation. How the body identity will go, liver. How much you see the light inside, that much you forget your body. When your concentration is deep, you forget. Even watching television, we forget our body, is it not? When my mind is very much glued to one movie, what a very interesting thing going on, you forget. That somebody called you, you didn't hear. Your mind is focused in one thing. That is the way of the mind. If the mind gets focused in one thing, it will forget the other thing. So our major spiritual journey is that our body identification. I identify with the body, so I seek for body pleasure. I seek for good food. I seek for all the pleasures of the five senses. But spiritual life is going beyond the body idea. Body idea, then is where will you go then? To the spirit idea. Body idea to spirit idea. That it has been said that who is the Odhi Devota? Think of the Odhi Devota. Who is the Odhi Jagga? Who is here taking all the offering? Actually, what is that reality? So going, what is that? That is the verse 9 and 10 we'll see. Kovin Puranam Anushashitaram Anor Aniyansham Anushmareti Yaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasha Parasvat Prayana Kale Manasha Achalena Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Valena Chaiva Bhuvar Madde Pranam Adesya Shamyat Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Devyam. Now, whom to meditate? How you will be released from bondage? Purusham upaiti, that purusha, that consciousness, one attains to that consciousness. We read that before, AJ? The verse, it says, Mama Partho, 8th verse, he said, Paramam Purusham Dibbam, that Parama Purusha, Yati, Partho, Anuchinta, and you will attain to that. What is that Parama Purusha here? And that is again describing. Because we don't read, but we don't understand. In the, the spiritual life, truth is very simple. You need not have to read anything. Truth is very simple, follow is the question. God is the reality. Love God. Finish. What is more needed? All this reading, all this chanting, is only because you don't understand this single word. Love God. This world is... Don't pay attention too much to the world. Live in a detached way and think of God. But it is, you don't understand, it does not enter. That's why you have to hammer it in the brain. You want to make a dent in a strong stone wall. How do you do? Our brain has become stone because it is not giving access to the pin of this, what these sages are saying. It does not, it comes here and just reflects, go away. Shooting, but it gets repaired. It should be made ready. So that's why it is said, Kobini, you think of that because it is repeated. Why? Its repetition is important. In spiritual life you will find only repetition. The same idea again and again and in all the scriptures. Why? To make it enter into our very personality, into our thought, in the depth of our understanding, so that we can follow that sincerely. So, Kaving, Puranam, what is, who is Kavi? Kavi is called the he who sees afar. And the sages are called Kavi. Kavi means poet. Normal translation is Kavi means poet. Of course, it has also sense. Kavi, he will look at this plant, but looking at that, his mind will go somewhere else. Rabindranath Tagore, the mystic poet, when the sun used to come up, watching the sun rise, he will forget about the whole world. He does not see only the sun rise, the rays of light, but he sees something else which we don't see. That's why we also describe nature. Wordsworth described nature. Wordsworth used to have trance. Seeing the nature, what we are reading, he used to go to trance. Rabindranath Tagore used to go to trance. That's why he feels something beyond. But maybe five people may be sitting waiting for sunrise. And Ramakrishna will go to Samadhi first. But finished. He is not nowhere there. Someone asks him, hey, see the color? How beautiful? This is how the color is changing? We'll be shouting like that, looking at the change of color in the rising sun. Someone may be seeing like that. Every day it happens. Like those people who are the fishermen. They live on the bank, on the beach. Their life is like, every day they see the sunrise and sunset. Is there any attraction for them? It's going on. Who watches that? So you know, we are watching the same sunrise or sunset. It has different perspective. Only the Kobis, they see something more than what the physical eyes can see. So, and the sages are called Kobi because they see that beyond this world, what is the truth? And that's why Kobi means they see, who feels the existence of the divine everywhere, omniscient. Puranam. Puranam means that God is the oldest guy. There is no older person like that. Because God is first and then the creation came. If you say there is something more than him, then he will be Purana. And then God will be secondary then. God is his child. So there is no father of the God. Father of the God is me. God Nirguna becomes Saguna. There is no third party to control it. So that's why it is called Purana. And also Purana means we don't like old things, no? That's why the old people feel really neglected. We are becoming old, nobody looks at us. When a bright young boy comes and girl comes, everyone looks at them. And when you are old guy, nobody looks at us. But
God is not like that. God is Pura Upi Nava. Though he is old guy, but he is so charming. It is all the time beauty and more beauty. It has youth at the same time. Youth, all the time youthful, at the same time he is the oldest. It is a mixture of these two. Anyhow, so it is called Pura Anam. He is the Anushashita Aram. Anushashan. Anushashan means rule. These are the rules you have to follow. These are the Anushashanam. Atho Yoga Anushashanam. These are the rules you have to follow. Now I am talking about the rules of yoga. Anushashitaram. He who rules the universe. That means everything has come out of his will. Then there will be life and light came. And the Upanishad declares, from that absolute, what came? Akasha, Akasha, Bayur, Bayur, Advo, Advo, Prithibi. Like that, from him came everything of the in elemental world. Anushashitanam, but he controls. He's a mastermind, he controls all of us. Anushashitanam, anor aniyam. Minuter than the minutest. What you can think? How far you can go? The minutest. Old age, molecule was the minute. And then came the atom, then came the electron, proton, and then now is what?
Particle.
You go something. It's going deeper and deeper. Onu, onu, how far it can go? It's the onu. If I go that far, it is beyond that. That means in the Swami Vivekananda had a vision, experience. When he was in Almora, meditating under a tree. And after that, yes, he told that that day he had a vision which solved the mystery of the world. What is in the microcosm? Minutest than the minute. And what is the macrocosm? In the galaxies and stars. He saw the same principle. That means consciousness, what is inside, and that is there. Anoruniyam. In Katha Upanishad also said, he is the Anu than the Anu. He is the minute, he is the smallest than the smallest. Mahato Mahiyan Atma Shyanto Nihito Guhayam. That Atman, the glory of the Atman. What is that? Anu Raniyan. He is the Anu than Anu. And Mahato Mahiyan. You think of the grandest thing in the universe, grander than that. And that same Atma, Atmasya Janto, that same reality is in Janto. We are all Jantu. Jantu means any created being, or even animal, plant, whatever. Jantu. Atmasya Janto, Nihito, and where he is found? It is embedded in the depth of the heart. Why? It is not outside? Yeah, it is also outside, but first you understand. In the deepest depth of your heart, as much as you understand, that much you will see God outside. That's in meditation. So, manoruniyan angsham anusmarajya. He who meditates on this God. Do we meditate on this God? How? How many people think of God in this perspective? Kobin is the omniscient, unchanging, Puranam is the earlier than the earliest truth of the universe. It is the anoruniyan, it is the minutest than the minute, subtler than the subtlest. And Anushashitanam, he is the one controller of the whole cosmos. In Upanishad he says, in his rule, that sun is rotating. The whole cosmos, how the plan of the whole cosmos is going on, by whose dictate? You? Me? Who is controlling the stars and galaxies to be born in that pattern and will rotate around them? Who has designed this? Whose dictate is so convincing or invincible that no one dares to break that? Whole creation is following the same rule, no? That is called God. Human beings, gods, angels, whatever you say, under the control of that cosmic power. So it is called Anushasitanam, Anuraniyam. He who remembers this, Anusmaret, this God. That means, when you think of your Ishta Devata, don't think that he is a tiny guy, a man, a Rama, a Krishna, a human being, 65 inches tall, and this much length, and this much body weight. Not that Rama Krishna. But this Rama and Krishna or Christ or Buddha is this. That's why Swami Vivekananda gave the highest adoration to these incarnations. Because they are the highest manifestation of the divinity which can be perceived by human mind. Human mind cannot go beyond. Human mind cannot think anything beyond. You see in them the concrete expression of the divinity. Love, purity, kindness, grace, what is called godly. They are the embodiment. And for us, it is a good example before us. It is like what you call torch. Pole star. We can move towards that. Up first. That is the role. You know how to find a star in our Vedanta teaching. If you want to find a star, it is called Arundhati Nyaya, the philosophy of the or the logic of the Arundhati. Arundhati is a tiny star in the sky. To the naked eye you cannot see that. But if you go to a teacher, they will be saying that, you see, look at that big bright star. So you can easily see that bright star, locate it, then say, look towards the right. There is a smaller star. Do you see it? Then you see it. Yes. Then you move like that. And you see it here and there, and that is the Arundhati. Because it is at a distance, it seems so, God is so invisible to us. We can't see anywhere. It does not mean that God's presence is vaporized. And it will suddenly appear. Our eyes are tuned to see that. So this is the idea that this anuraniyamsum ya anusmaretja, he who can remember this, meditate on this. So try to think of God from in this perspective. You know, people really get confused. If this word is understood in every religious, this class is to be given only to all the religious leaders. Come and sit down. What is called God? What is the definition of God? Then fight later on. My religion, my God is greater than your God. My God is superior to your God is nothing. But why are you talking like that? Who is God? So this clarity of understanding. And because of the lack, even in the Hare Krishna and other groups you go, they will be so fanatic. Only you will have to go to Krishna. But what is Krishna? Abhyaktam vyaktimapannam mannante maam abuddhaya. Those fools, idiots, abuddhi, their buddhi name, who have no buddhi, abuddhaya, abhyaktam, I am unmanifest. Vyaktimapannam, because I have taken a human body. Mannante, they think that I am a human being. Hari? He is saying himself. Abhujananti mang mudha. Again saying, people don't worship me, but they are avagga kare. Avagga means? Disrespect me. People, this Gita saying of that abhujananti mang mudha. Mudha, those who are fools and idiots, they think they are great devotees. And they are preaching Krishna. You can preach Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is saying himself. Mang mudha, mudha people, abhojananti, they disrespect me. How? Why? Manushim tanumastritam. Because I have taken a Tanu means the body of a manushi, means manush, human. Human body is because I have taken. Abhujananti mang muha manushim tanumastitam. Param bhavam naja ajananto. What clarity you need? Not knowing my param, the supreme bhava, the spirit. What is my supreme spirit? Not knowing, they think I am they. And they think they are worshipping, but Krishna himself says they are disrespecting me. You can love Krishna, but you cannot say Krishna is this limited. If you don't come to this Krishna, the man you are worshipping, are you giving the principle of Vedanta? That he is beyond all description. So he has taken a human form. Human form is nothing important. Go through the human form into the absolute truth, what he represents. So this is the Abhujananti Mang Muha Manushim Tanumastitam Param Bhava Majananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. They don't know. I am the Maheshwara, Maha Ishwara, the great God. That means behind the God. You know, great God is what? God we know, who is controlled, creates this, that. I am the Maha. Well, I am behind that. So not knowing that when you do, that's why in our spiritual sadhana, every day we have to think, when you sit for meditation and prayer, we have to think whom we are praying. You have taken one symbol, that's a different thing. You take a Ramakrishna symbol, Holy Mother symbol, Vivekananda symbol, Christ symbol, Krishna symbol, whatever you take. But these are symbols. Symbols are representing the truth. So if this clarity comes, then all this struggle, all this fight and superiority, this concept, misconception will leave us. So here he says, Param anoraniyamsham anusmaredya, he who can think, remember it, sarvasya dhataram, who is God? He is sarvasya dhataram, he holds everyone. The sinner and the saint, the high and the low, the plant and the animals, the gods and the devils, he holds everything. He is the dhata, the substratum of everything. Sarvasya dhataram achintya rupam. What is this form? He has no limitation. Achintya. Your chinta, your brain, your thinking power cannot think of it. It is all beyond that. Achintya rupam. And what is it? It is achintya rupam. That it is all void? No. Aditya varnam. It is of the varna means the color or the brightness of Aditya, the light. That's why you know, you look at the mystics of the world, they all say when they see God, they see light. In Christian mystics, you read their life when they are having the vision. You go to Ramakrishna's first vision about Mother Kali, it is only light. And they merge into that light, and limitless light. Ramakrishna not saying Sanskrit, but when he described his experience after first vision, he said that I saw the beam of light coming from the image. See, it starts from the image, because that was a Rishta Devata. You practice that thinking, but who is that? Now come to the point. Rays of light started coming from the mother's image. And then waves, ocean of light. Light, 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 light everywhere. She's not talking about mother anymore. It is light, 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 light everywhere. And the light is infinite light and ocean of light. And he said, in that ocean of light, waves and waves of that ocean of light, and in that I got drowned. And what happened I did not know. Then that day and the next day, I was totally out of it. And when he came back to the senses, then he afterwards started describing that experience. He was not gone. Who was meditating? That person meditating, merged into the light. And what remains in that consciousness, we can understand from this description. It is only light. But is that the light like this light? I do not know. But they have to say something to describe a fool like me, or to understand a bit little. That's why they say, Aditya Varnam. Krishna himself describing, now what is that? It is of the nature of not of darkness. It is not of voidness. It is not of nothingness. But it is a full. It is an entity full of light. That's why it is said, it is light, but it is not the scorching light. It is the soothing light like the moon, and the brilliance like the sun. So this is the type of, but these are all descriptions. Who knows what is that unless you have the experience. We are only reading some book describing how is Hawaii. And Hawaiian waves, how is beautiful. And how the hotels, and how this, all this description of Hawaii good. But we are reading the map. And that may inspire us to go to Hawaii. But we have to get some money, collect in your pocket and get a ticket and then expense all the hotel charges, collect all those. That is called the spiritual sadhana. Attain all this wealth and pocket money to reach there. Then you can see and then you can enjoy the what is called the Hawaii. So, Achintya Rupam, it is one whose form cannot be conceived. Aditya Varnam, effulgent like the sun. And again, it is saying Aditya Varnam, meaning light. But again he is saying Tamasa Parasta. Why? To keep away all the misconception that there is no darkness. It is all light, all joy, and all knowledge. So, it is beyond the concept of Tamas, or darkness. Tamasa Paraha. Beyond Tamasa. Tamasa Parasta. And if one can practice in such a way, again coming, last question was, how will one realize you at the point of death? Adhijagga, Adhibhuta, etc., etc. And last question was, Prayano Kale, at the point of death, how one will attain me? Now he is answering, Prayano Kale, at the time of death, Manasa Achaleno. If your mind becomes steady, achala means no chala, no moving. Your mind having become niruddha. In a yogic term we say nirodha. Mind is niruddha. Where? In that concept of God, that divine described so far. Manasa Achaleno and Bhaktya Yukta. It should be connected with love. Brain cannot go, Thakur said, intellect. Intellectual knowledge is like going to a home. Guests, we have come, we are sitting here, isn't it? We guests are allowed to come over here. But to go to their room, you should be very intimate to the homeowner, isn't it? In everyone's private room is there. So, jnana is like you come up to the outdoor or the living room. But only if you are very intimate, then you can enter into their home. Bhakti can enter there. Ramakrishna said, bhakti only can enter into the innermost recess of spirituality. That's why jnana and bhakti should be combined. So that's why he says, bhaktya yukta. This knowledge is not bereft of love. That's why it is Satchidananda. It is, if you say it is light, it is jnana, it is knowledge. Knowledge is light, isn't it? But it is, if the bhakti is there, then it is dry. Dry knowledge, what shall I do with the dry knowledge? You will be frightened. You will be frightened to run away from that knowledge, no? Swami Vivekananda, what he did? First when Thakur touched him, and this whole world was reeling into the voidness, and he got so frightened, he said, oh, what are you doing? I have my mom, I have my dad. It is knowledge, but the devotion connection has not come. So it needed sadhana. And afterwards, of course, he preached that same philosophy, jnana bhakti, combining all these. So, bhaktya yukta yoga valeno also. Jnana karma yoga bhakti. See, it is, if people say it is bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. And bhakti cannot live alone. Real bhakti, if you love somebody, how can you be not knowing about that person? But then your love will not be permanent. I love you. See that, you are such a knowledgeable person, you are so great, you are. If I know he is more greater than you, my love will shift to that point. So how can you love God unless you don't know what is God? That means the first four, two lines for that. Knowledge. Knowledge plus you should have to love them. Second. And if you love, it is a spontaneous thing. You will meditate, is it not? You love a dog, you will meditate on dog. Even you are here, you may think that, oh, my dog is not fair now. I will have to go back quickly. So one part of the mind will say that. That means it is love me brings. That type of yoga, union, feeling, connectedness. That is called meditation. So it is yoga valeno, by the power of yoga. That means jnana karma yoga. See how it is combined in spiritual life. What is Ramakrishna's broadcasted philosophy of this age? Krishna also said the same thing. That's why we call samanaya kari. They are the people who have really made this harmony. Harmonizer. Krishna harmonized. But it is not understood properly. So we make segment of these things. But in the ideal teaching, we'll find all these clues are there. So, yoga valena chayeva. And then, with that, what type of yoga? Bhruvar madde. Bhruva is here, in between the eyebrows. Bhruvar madde, in between. Pranam avishya. You control the mind here and focus here and think of that life, if I mean whatever description has been given, with love. It is not by force. Oh, Guru has said, I have to do meditation. Oh my God, okay, 10 minutes. Okay, good. Not that. It should be lovingly, you will be pulled to do that. Think of this jnana, add love, do meditate, and put a comprehensive togetherness. Pranam avesho, that pranam is your whole energy, no? Focusing there, that means the karma. And don't allow the body to work there and there and there. Whole energy, prana sakti should be focused in there. And sammak, avesho sammak, do it thoroughly. Let it not be scattered. Sa tam param purusham upaiti. He will attain that parama purusha. That means, you know, it is a rigorous task. By obhyasa, by practice, regular practice, thinking of God, who is God, this is the definition, omniscient, ancient, the ruler, the minute and an atom, supporter of everything, a form inconceivable, effulgent like the sun, beyond all darkness. These are the conception of your Ishta Devata. And then he who meditates on this resplendent Supreme Purusha, and then focuses here, and all the energy brings it here. So at the point, time of death, with a steady mind, devotion and strength of yoga, while fixing the entire prana in the middle of the eyebrows, he reaches the Lord, the Him. So this is the, that is whole energy should be focused towards that realization. Okay? So, what is the time? Time is over. So, we shall stop. You can have any time. Few moments means another verse we can go if you were say so. Okay. Now the 11th verse, we can finish this quickly also. It takes 2 minutes to finish. You just ask me, and in the translation then we can finish it. But if we want to go like that, one verse is enough for two, three classes. It should go deeper. That's called manana. What we are doing nothing. We are reading Shravana and we are trying to do manana. A deeper thinking, little bit deeper. But you can think much deeper. And that deeper thinking will bring deepest experience, which is called nididhyasana, total absorption. And when absorption will come, it will take you to samadhi. Shravana, manana, nididhyasana. So this is the struggle for us, but we'll have to go on obhyasa, obhyasa, again and again. Now, 11th verse. Yadaksharam veda vidu vadanti shanti yat yatayo vitaragaha yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahina prabhakshe. Yad aksharam veda vido vadanti. Who are the vedavit? Vedavit means knowers of the Veda. No, knowers of the Veda. They are the knowers of the truth. Veda means the wisdom. Wisdom of the Atman, wisdom of Brahman. So those who are the Vidhat means knowers of the Veda. Veda vido yad aksharam. They are saying, what is God? It is akshara, na akshara. There is no kshara. That means there is no destruction. It is not perishable. It is imperishable. Which has been described by the knowers of truth, not by me or anybody. That means he is praising, he is giving the glory to the seers of the past. And the seers of the past have described that it is akshara. It is imperishable. Which the seers of the truth have described that divine as aksharam. Aksharam is imperishable. And vadanti, that is Vedavida, Vishanti jad jataya. Jataya means the jyoti. Jyoti means the sannyasins. The renunciates. Vitaragaha. From whose heart all the attachment for the worldliness of God. Vitaraga people. They are called the Vitaraga. So, jatayo, this type of jyoti, that means whose mind is totally detached from world and worldliness. And those types of mind will go where? Vishanti. It goes inside. That akshara. That akshara, who is the Vedanta knowledge people, Vedavid, they describe as imperishable. That same truth where the jyoti, the sannyasin, perfect, not the gerua wearing people only. Gerua wearing is one thing and total detachment from the world is different. He is a real sannyasin. Ramakrishna is a real sannyasin. Even you touch a coin, his pain will start in the body. The Marwari, that rich man came and saw Ramakrishna's bed is dirty and it is torn. And seeing that Ramakrishna is such a spiritual person, having this, he expressed the desire to give 10,000 rupees in those days. Ramakrishna's monthly salary is 7 rupees. And he wanted to give 10,000. See the amount of money. And how would you be happy if someone says, I will give you Swami 10,000? I will be jumping in joy. 10,000, oh my God. That's good, good, give, 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 because it will go. But he said, what did you say? And he said, later on he said, when he said, as if someone is putting a saw machine on my head. Even listening to that, I want to give you 10,000. He could not take it. Not only accept with joy, it is a rejection. That is called sannyasa. Somnios. He who can give up totally. And the reaction comes in the body. We will be happy. We will be enjoying. Even sannyasa. But for him, it is like someone is sawing your head. Hearing this. Then he said, don't say like that, don't come over here anymore. Then he said, no, I want to give it. Then you go to that lady who is there, Masarada. Eh? Send. And Ma is a sannyasi. See, what sannyasi is mother. Then this Marwari with all devotion went and said, Ma, I want to give this money for the service of the Thakur, because it needs so much cleaning and fresh clothing, and devotees come to feed them. Thakur used to feed devotees and give something. So he goes to Calcutta. So let that be the money invested. And the interest is enough for maintaining. $10,000 interest will be some money, good money, those days. Or you utilize it. Then mother said, mother was very sweet and very diplomatic. So Thakur said bluntly no. But mother is very kind. How she will say to a child, no, I don't want to take. Mother was not like that. Very sweet. So first she said, you know, my child, how can I take it? I cannot take it. Because if I take it even, I'll have to use it for his cause only. But he is not willing to take. How can he take it? See, in a sweet way, she rejected the money. See the point, $10,000, they are most poor Brahmin during that time. You know, after Ramakrishna's passing away, what is the condition of Holy Mother? A tattered cloth, one cloth, no food, to have someday some rice, and not even the money to purchase the salt. Some spinach growing in the on the edge of the pond, some grasses like that, some spinach like that, she used to bring and boil it, simple boil and eat. Such situation. She had the power to reject. Who is the sannyasi? That is called sannyasi. So, bitaraga ha. They are the bitaraga. They have no attachment for anything but God. So, jatayo. They are the jyoti. Sannyasins. Of course, great sannyasins in our order and outside is there. They are the sannyasins whose heart is freed from all types of attachment to anything in the excepting God. No? Vishanti, they enter into that. How they will reject this unless they have something to go? Renunciation is not negative. This is my formula. I say everywhere. Renunciation seems a negative thing. But you cannot renounce unless you get something higher. You give up a job of 80,000 when you get an offer of 100,000. Is it a renunciation? Ah, you did renounce 80,000. And what do you reject? What do you denounce? You denounce nothing. You get more. So he who actually renounces means he has something more than that but is in his control. He does not care for this. There is a Rabindranath Tagore has this poem, Ye dhane hoiya dhoni, monire manona moni, tahar konik magiyami nato sire. Ato boli, feli dila, maniko ratan naki, there is a parasamana. One mad guy was searching for a philosopher's stone. What is philosopher's stone? He wants to be rich, multi-millionaire. How? Very easy. You get a philosopher's stone, you touch, anything you touch it will turn into gold. So that guy was running here and there for the philosopher's stone. And then he was running and he was frustrated, and anything, any pebble, it is a pathar, they call pathar means stones. So philosopher's stone. So that mad guy went every nooks and corners, whatever stone he gets, he touches, he has a bangle, iron bangle, and touching, and watching whether it has become gold or not. So he's going on, and then he went and met a sadhu, and in his jhupri, in his what is called? Small cottage, hut, the rain, you can see the sun, even so perforated, rain comes inside, and it is all scattered around on the bank of the ocean. And he came, "Can you give me some philosopher's stone?" And that sadhu then said, "Oh, you want the philosopher's stone? Go and get it." It is kept in that type of house, it is kept in one corner. It is an insignificant thing that is there. He took it. And he grabbed it and touched. And he saw that it is gold. He shouted, "Eureka, Eureka, I got it, got it, got it." And really you can think, he is searching for that stone and he got it. And then he was excited. Even he didn't forget to give the thanks to the sadhu. He took that and grabbed and went away. And the sadhu said, "Take it." And then he went a little further. And then after some time, he said, "What a fool am I. I am excited to get this stone. It has made this gold. But this holy man was keeping this philosopher's stone in an insignificant way in the floor under the mud. And he has no attraction for this. And just give me, will you take it?" Tell you what riches he has. Ye dhone, in that riches, you being enriched, hoiya dhoni, you can discard even the philosopher's stone. And now he then got to sense it. There must be something more than this philosopher's stone. I can make tons of money out of this philosopher's stone. But tons of money is nothing. This person have got something more than that. So I am not being befooled anymore. So he came back and prostrated before the holy man and said this line, "Ye dhone hoiya dhoni, you being enriched by that type of treasure, and you can ignore this philosopher's stone. Moni re, manona moni, you don't think a jewel as a jewel. Tahari konika, a little bit of that. Magi ami, I pray, not to see it. I bowed down my head." So this is the thing, that these people have something higher to attain. So you always know renunciation is a positive thing. It is, you get something so that you can give up something less important than that. So this is the jatayo, the jyotis enter into that principle. Jadichanta brahmacharyam charanti. In Hinduism, you know, too much emphasis has been given on celibacy. That's why we are very much criticized. Vedanta is too much. One lady was calling me, and I said something, and it didn't. She was so upset that we people talk too much of renunciation and celibacy and this and that. That's why nobody comes in your Vedanta so much. Really, that's true. If you give so much renunciation, and celibacy, Ali Baba, the world to be enjoyed. And you are always saying celibacy. But what can you do? People observe celibacy. Jat ichchanta, desiring whom? People observe celibacy. Jat ichchanta brahmacharyo charanti. It is a hardship at the beginning because he is not getting attracted to the sense world, but trying to go beyond that. So it is an observance. It is called tapas. So with this, they are leading that austere life of spirituality by maintaining the celibacy. Of course, celibacy has a, I am given the highest value of celibacy, is the perfect celibacy from a childhood, for a monk. But householder has their celibacy. A husband and wife relationship, honest and devout relationship is called celibacy. That's for the household. So anyhow, that type of celibacy, that also has a restriction. You are devoted to your wife only, you are devoted to your husband only. Not just running here and there. That is called the celibacy. So there is this restraint is followed for some attainment. Jat icchanto, at desiring which you observe this austerity. This celibacy, tatte padam, that state. Sangraheno, in brief, I will provoke, say, I will declare. So the translation, that which is knowers of Veda called the imperishable, and into which enter the sannyasins, self-control, freed from attachment, desiring which they lead a life of continence, that I shall declare to you with brevity. I will say about that in a very nutshell. Okay, so now we end here. So we have 11 now. Another how many?
17.
Another 17, no?
17.
17. Yeah, I can manage. Within half an hour I can finish the other verses. But anyhow, these things will be always repetitive ideas. Anything? Any question?
You mentioned about the week. There is a saying in that a poet can reach the darkest corner where the sun cannot reach.
Sun cannot, yeah. The sun cannot enter there. But the poet can enter. That means in his thought, he can penetrate the deeper depth. And that's why so many explanations come out of their mouth. Simple thing they describe in such a way, we get overwhelmed. Because they see something more than we see. Our physical eyes, our mind can see that much. Yeah. God is within us when you think of yourself, not the physical body. If you can think that way, then you'll think, who is in me? So it is God only. And when you, if God is in me, He is also equally in you. There comes the question, I ought to have to respect you, love you, serve you. Because God is in you. So this is there is a blending of these two ideas. God is in me does not mean limited, small self, big self. In me is big self. Ramakrishna described it, ripened I and unripened ego. Ripened ego is big I. In me is Lord, this Lord whom we read today. That Lord is in me. And that Lord is so big, He's also in you. He's in everywhere. So, that is the real self. In the Swami Vivekananda's lectures, you can find there is a talk in complete works. It is called The Real and the Apparent.
That is exactly what we remove.
Now you are removing, that's right. This is the apparent I. I. But this is nothing. The real I is inside. So So to know that real I, that is the Krishna, that is your Ishta Devata. Or in Vedanta, that is Atman. And that Atman is equal to Brahman. That's why the four Vedic dictums are there. It is called Aham, Brahma, Asmi, I, not the body. See how they are analyzing. Get out of your misconception. I, never think that you are this flesh and bone. Never think that you are your emotions. You are scholar, your understanding. No, those are all changing things. A great scholar, Alzheimer, what happens? Alzheimer disease comes and what great scholar? He forgets everything, he cannot express anything. It's a physical thing. If the brain does not function, that knowledge cannot get expressed. But that cannot go, Atman cannot go. Everything we take from the world, we return here when we die. Is it not? You cannot take one gray of hair. Gray hair you cannot take. Black hair is gone already. How to take the gray hair? Gray hair also we cannot take. What the question of my PhD degree or my master degree or my scholarship? Everything you have to give back here. God has allowed you to take some rent-free items. Ideas, everything you take, you return it everything. So what is the reality then? That is the big I. That is the Atman. So what is Atman? Aham, whom you see the I, misunderstood as body, I am the body. People say something, you say, I am heart. You said that thing. Oh my God, how can you say that to me? Me, what is that me? Your body? No. You are considering me as your mind. Your mind is upset with the world. Someone is. And you say something contradicting me. Then I say, huh? You understand this way? It is wrong. I understand this way. So here, I means understanding or buddhi. Like that. We live in the stratas. But aham is not that I. That is the Atman, and that is the Atman is the cosmic consciousness as God. So any way we go, devotional path we go, or knowledge path we go, whatever, or karma path for God we are doing, it is all going back to the big I. What is in devotion we call God, in Vedanta we call Atman. About Kano. So your guru will teach you how to do. Guru normally teaches us to meditate in the heart. They say, think in your heart that Lord seated there. If you are a devotional type guru instructor, then say that your Ishta Devata, your chosen ideal is Rama, Krishna, Christ, Buddha, whatever, he is there. And he's full of light and effulgence inside him. And then, as much as you get absorbed into that inside, then with eyes open you can see the same thing outside. It is for practicing at the beginning. It is said God is within. Does it mean that God is not outside? It will be gradually coming. But you have to start at a certain point. Our spiritual journey should be started at a particular point. That's why he says, try to think in the heart. Sridha manasa manasa vikliptā yai tad viduhu amritaste bhavanti. It is Kathopanishad. He who resides in the heart, you have to meditate on that by your mind, with your loving mind. And he who knows this, they are Amrita Bhavanti, they become immortal. So that is the thing. We start at certain point and Guru is to help us. And that's why we need a guide in our life.
What are the four
Aham Brahmasmi, then Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Thou, Us, That, Prajnanam Brahma, Agna, Prajnanam Brahma, Ayam Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma, Ayam Atma Brahma. These are from four Vedas. Each from one Veda. Sometimes people say also Sarvam Kalyanam Brahma is also Mahavakya, but traditionally these four are considered to be the by Shankara. They have been taken as the Mahavakyas. Why Mahavakya? All Vakyas are Vakya, word. But this is great Vakya. Why? It reveals the highest truth. Vakya is always revealing some truth, is it not? Some thought. So Mahavakya means great thought. Jyotsna, you are done, then tell us.